spots that are involved today. The singing is just great. I've really enjoyed it. And of course, Scott Thompson, he's your gain, he's our loss back at CMML. I got to tell you, I miss him. So if you don't treat him right, I'm going to get him back somehow. You see, but we're happy he's here with you. I want to take you on a little journey on an 18-hour nonstop airline, and I want to tell you about it. I want to introduce you to a couple people first. Most of you, I think, have heard of Echoes of Service in the U.K. and MSC, or Missionary Service Corporation, in Canada. These are similar organizations to CMML, similar service groups. And this that's Dr. Ian Burness from Echoes of Service and his wife. And then this is Bill Yule from MSC and his wife. And then Cindy is next to me. I want to tell you what... I'm going the wrong way, sorry. Bear with me one sec. I went to Thailand to bring all of our missionaries out of China so that we could give them a period of encouragement, have some ministry with them, let them talk about the work. Most of them never see each other in China because it's such a vast country. And a couple of years ago, we did this in Hong Kong, and it was so successful from the standpoint of building up and encouraging the missionaries, we decided to do it again. MSC and Echoes and CMML pays for everything. We bring them out, we pay for their hotel, and we let them go back. But the sole purpose is for them to be built up, to hear good ministry, to hear everything in English, to share about their work, their prayer requests, their concerns, their problems, and so forth. So we had about 5 intensive days with them. This is the group right here. There were 29 adults and 10 children that attended. You won't know them all, but here's Rebecca Logan right here, Miss Rebecca. I think some of the folks here might know her. This is Miss Maria. That's Maria Gotcho. In the back here, this is Paul and Ruth Furseth, who are in our handbook. So those are some of the ones that you would know. And Robert Pilkington is also around here somewhere. He's way in the back here. And this is Sheldon and Nisa Crutchfield. So you can see some of the folks that you pray for. Now, we went there, and we went to Phuket for one reason. It was cheap. It was cheaper than Hong Kong, and the missionaries felt they were being watched in Hong Kong. So by going to Phuket, they said they don't have a problem. So what we did is we contacted a brother, Peter Ferry. Peter Ferry is right here. This is his wife, Peter and Peggy Ferry. You'll see an article from him. He's a Scottish missionary who lives in Phuket. And you'll see an article about Pakistan's earthquake in the May issue. And right next to him is John and Karen Short, Australian missionaries. John and Karen work with Brian and Joy Ford, running the Christian Book Room in Hong Kong. Well, Peter Ferry, when the tsunami hit, he swung into action, and more about that in a minute. But Peter was able to go to this hotel, and when you see the hotel, your tongue will hang out, as did the missionaries. And he was able to negotiate a deal that only a Scotsman like him could negotiate. And he got this beautiful hotel for us for the $50 a night per person with 3 luscious meals, meeting rooms, coffee breaks. The missionaries couldn't believe it. And you know what? We were thrilled because they deserved that. And we're of the impression that our missionaries deserve the very best whenever we can do it. This was the outset, the front entrance to the hotel. And I show you that because it's all open in here, which is a haven for mosquitoes at night when you're trying to work on your computer late and the lights are out. But at the hotel is the spirit house right outside the front door. And you'll see these spirit houses all over Thailand. And they worship them. They bring vegetables and various things, and they pray to them. And I was in the hotel going up the stairs, and I saw through the window 2 of the hotel staff out there in the morning to worship. And my heart was saddened by it. I'd never seen anything like this before. And when we toured around the area, they were all over the place. I wanted to show you the beach because the tsunami hit here. I'm standing out by the water. This is the back of the hotel. And if you can see this wall here, this is about a 12-foot seawall. And I must say, it's a beautiful beach. And so, showing you that, now we're looking the other way. I'm standing by that pagoda and I'm looking out. And this particular island is a very important piece of what I'm about to tell you. That tsunami came through that area, three giant waves, 30 to 40 feet high, at 120 to 200 miles an hour. That's how fast it was traveling. This island somehow split the force of those three waves. So the hotel that we were staying at, you could see it from inside that pagoda looking out, you could just imagine a wall of water coming at you and not knowing where it was coming from. And the interesting thing, the manager at the hotel told us that the water receded out to that island. It just evaporated out there and then came rushing back in. This is the dining room where the missionaries ate. Now you can see along the back, this is all glass. That pagoda is here. You can hardly make it out. The ocean is right out here, the Indian Ocean. The waters came in and just literally washed people away that were sitting having breakfast in this. But thankfully, no one was killed at this hotel because that island separated the waters. So they lost about eight rooms at the end of the hotel, but the rest was just flooded out and people were washed around, but they were not killed here, although tens of thousands of people were killed over there in Phuket. This beach looks very calm. This is Batong Beach. It's spelled P-A-T-O-N-G, but they say Batong Beach. You might have heard about this one on television. If you heard about the little English schoolgirl that had studied tsunamis, and she was over there on vacation with her parents, and she saw the waters at this particular area recede back to this mountain, this hill, and she started yelling, "Tsunami, tsunami." And people listened because they were running out to see what was happening, and they started to flee. And she was credited with saving hundreds and hundreds of lives, this little girl. And they had her on television here in the U.S. a number of months ago. So the waters came in here, and right across the street, this is 10 months later now, but the waters hit the second and third floor of all these hotels that were positioned along there just about 20 feet from where the water's edge was and washed people out of their beds and they were never seen again. So it gives you some idea of what happened. Now, Peter Ferry is in the middle. This is Ahmed. Ahmed is a 35-year-old full-time worker. I'm using the word full-time because that's all he does in Thailand is minister. And the fellow next to him is Aline, and Aline is a fisherman. He's called a sea gypsy, and he has some fishing boats. Fishing boats like this. This is what they use, just wooden boats. I would say perhaps they're 30 feet long, all made of wood. And on the back, they have a car engine on a long shaft. You guys will be interested on this. And a propeller at the end, and that's their method of transportation. Well, at the Sea Gypsy Village, the tsunami came in and destroyed all of these boats. All of these boats are new. They've all been rebuilt. Just washed them up over the wall. It washed through this Sea Gypsy Village where Aline lived. I'm standing at the door of the Gospel Hall at the Sea Gypsy Village. And that's the Gospel Hall. Simple little place, tin roof, tin sides, but a place that they love and that they worship. Inside, there are no chairs. There's a chair for the speaker. Everyone else sits on the floor. They take their shoes off on the outside. I'll tell you a little story that Peter Ferry shared with me about this particular Gospel Hall. The brother that I showed you, Aline, is a fisherman. He refuses on his three fishing boats to fly those flags on the back of the fishing boats, which are for the spirits. He will not do that. And so he was ridiculed. He put all of his own money into building this little gospel hall for the folks in that village. This was long before the tsunami, of course. He went out on his fishing boats, and he caught more fish on one particular trip to more than pay for this little chapel that he built. And he doesn't fly those flags. They couldn't get over it. I couldn't get over it. I was so thrilled when he was telling the story through a translator, you know. And he'd be telling it in his language, and I'd be waiting for Peter to you know, tell me. And he's smiling. I'm thinking, what's going on? But it was great. This is the daughter of Aline. Some of you saw the Missions Magazine a couple of months ago. This was the little girl that made the cell phone call that saved another village from destruction. Her father, Alim, was on his motorbike going up to another Sea Gypsy village to speak in the gospel hall. This was the little village. And if you can imagine, you can see where the water is. This building down here is actually the gospel hall in that particular village. And you'll get a better picture of that in a minute. But I wanted you to see where these are in relation to the water. Brother Alim had just arrived. The people were gathered in the assembly, and his cell phone rang, and his daughter said, "Father, you have to get out of there. A huge wave has swept through. Our village has been washed away, and it's coming your way." He had less than 5 minutes. They warned the people in the assembly. Those went up and down the little street, you'll see in a minute, and warned people, and they escaped to higher ground. Most of them got to higher ground as the waves came in. This is the gospel hall as it stands today after it's been rebuilt. And I'll give you a little picture from inside. This is Peter Ferry. He's sitting with a dear brother that lost his legs 20 years ago. He's a deep sea diver, and they have very primitive equipment there. And he got the bends, as many of them have over there as they fish. So this poor brother has lost his legs, but he's apparently quite a prayer warrior. When the tsunami hit, they were on higher ground, and everyone forgot about this poor brother that was laying on this mattress. So some of the men made their way back, and as they got to him, the waters were so high they were just about at his nose, and they were able to rescue him. Fantastic. Now, when the tsunami hit, it destroyed this particular village, although many of the people were saved because of the phone call. Now you say, what happens to the money that you send in to ECHOES or MSC or CMML in the case of a disaster? And the biggest single problem in the case of a disaster is having reliable men on the ground to put the money into their hands. It is not easy to give away money. You have to be very careful. And we found reliable men in each of the countries that were affected. And together we worked with ECHOES and MSC and Interlink and Lord's Work Trust over in Scotland. And we all gathered at Heathrow Airport for 2 days and discussed how to best handle this. This particular village, they went in and they rebuilt. All of these houses were rebuilt by Christians and with Christians' funds. This is Ahmed standing by one of them. He was there for 4 months, 24/7 almost, helping with the building. And apparently, I'm told, because of this, there are 80 children that attend Sunday school in this little gospel hall. So I'm standing by another house, and you can see they're all up on concrete stilts now and built quite well. They even built a house for a little widow lady, just a small model right there. This is the kind of boat that they rebuilt, 41 of these boats, and they rebuilt, I think it was about 300 houses for the different people there. And you can see, guys, if you're interested, this is the car engine, the propellers here, and that's how they get around, and apparently they do quite a job. So there were 41 of these boats that were built by funds that were sent in by Christians around the world. This is the street of the village. Now, I show you this because you get an idea of how primitive it is. And this was new to me. This was very new to me. But they were lovely people. Right in the middle of that street was this home. Right in the middle of it. And I said to Ahmed and Peter Ferry, I said, who is this? What is this? And it's a Chinese entrepreneur, a very successful Chinese entrepreneur. And I said, oh, I said, did he help with the funds to reconstruct? Not a penny. Had nothing to do with it. And in his front yard is his spirit house. I also said to them, I said, well, did the big organizations come in? Did they help? And they said, no, they only went where the TV cameras were. Isn't that something? We heard of one when we were there that went into an area, and the first thing they did was buy 62 SUVs for their staff. So you have to have reliable men on the ground. And this is a matter of prayer with us when we do receive funds, is how do we get it to the right people so that the Lord can use it? That's the other side of that beautiful house. On both sides, there's this primitive condition and this big house. That's why missionaries go out. This little boy was following me around. I guess I was kind of a white man, and I was looking at stuff, and He just was following. And then he became fascinated with my digital camera. And I took his picture. He goes to the Sunday school. He ran up to Ahmed. Ahmed, Ahmed, Ahmed. And because Ahmed worked there for 4 months straight, they all got to know him. So what we're finding is the gospel is being useful here. The gospel is going out. People are being reached. And as you think of that, pray for the Sea Gypsy villages over there in Phuket. We were quite amazed at what we saw. We were quite amazed at what the Lord was doing. Now let me just swing back for a moment to our missionaries. We heard many reports on China, and quite frankly, that's why I raised my hand this morning, and I thought China was the country where most were coming to the Lord, because there are tens of thousands of people coming to the Lord in China. And the missionaries say, don't pray so much for souls to be saved. Pray for people to come and disciple the people that are coming to know Christ. But what is happening in China with regard to literature is amazing. The Christian book room in Hong Kong is constantly printing and sending out literature and getting it across the border. The most popular books that the Christians want right now are two of A.P. Gibbs' books, Through the Scriptures and The Preacher and His Preaching. And in some cases, they print it in loose leaf form so that they can share pages with one another. Just amazing. We were told that in a couple of villages, a printer that owns a printing company, he will go away for the weekend and he'll turn his printing plant over to a group of Christians. And they will come in the evening and they will print Bibles and they will print books and they'll have them all printed over the weekend. They'll have them bound, and by Sunday night, those books are out and they have a warehouse in China, and all the believers know, and it's all programmed, bicycles, whatever will arrive, the wind one door of the warehouse, boom, they're out. In a couple of hours, that warehouse is totally empty, and that literature is going all over China. So things are happening in China, and that's why we wanted to bring the missionaries serving in China out so that they could have a little bit of relief and really have their batteries charged, if that's the way to say it. They needed their batteries charged. And so do pray for our missionaries in China and for what's going on over there. The more I hear about it, I'm just absolutely amazed. We have an article that will be in the May issue of Missions, written by Brian Ford, who just last week came back from China on a trip bringing literature in. On the other hand, our brother Sheldon Crutchfield and another guy traveled in, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, and he was stopped, and 90% of what he had was confiscated, but the other guy got through. While they were working on Sheldon, the other guy got through with the literature. And these Christians are so smart over there that they have actually, when the police will come in, they will take everything, chairs, literature, bulbs out of the ceiling, just so that you can't operate. So the Christians were pretty smart. They designed gospel tracts for the military people, knowing that when they came in and confiscated the literature, that literature spoke to those people and it was going to be taken away by them. So they're shrewd too. It's really great when you hear what's happening. So this is what's happening in China. Please pray for China. When you see those listed in special areas, you realize that we can't name where they are for security reasons. But everyone that's listed in those special areas is in an area where they have to be quite careful. And having said that, as our brother Nate opens the scriptures this afternoon in a little while, he's going to finish his message, and then he's going to tell you something about his plans in the will of the Lord, and that part of it will not be recorded, so just so that you know. Thank you.